You are now listening to A Tale from a World Asunder.
Hi, everyone. I'm Louisa, voice of Mila Benteza and sound designer of Tales from a World Asunder, and I'm here to bring you a very special announcement. The premiere of episode 11 2 weeks from now will mark an important turn in our hero's stories and the end of our first chapter in Meridia. We will be taking a short break from production before coming back for chapter 2, but before we do, Simon, Nick, and I will be doing an uncut talkback episode, including a Q&A hosted by yours truly, to celebrate and reflect on these first 10 episodes, which we feel so lucky to have been able to share with you. So, if you have any burning questions or comments about the show, how it is made, our creative processes, or any of the characters' favorite foods, please head to the link in the episode description or in our communication channels. We're very, very excited to know what you think, as well as for a breather to reflect on what we've done so far. Again, that link will be in our episode description, Instagram account, and in our Discord server. Thank you so much, as always, for your continued support of Asunder. And without further ado, let's get to that episode.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Simon, and today I will not be your GM, but joining me as always are the exquisite Louisa.
Hi.
And always ineffable Nick.
Hello.
In our last episode, following the fight in the atrium, our heroes bid farewell to the hidden settlement of Tres Barrancas, bound for the Imperial and Republican capital of Antonia, unsure of what awaits them, but knowing what follows in their wake. And with that, Nick, would you like to introduce the game that is going to guide us from the frontier to the core?
This is The Trip, a one-page RPG system created by Wicha Hidayat. We will be modifying the system slightly to ensure a smoother narrative. It's a GM-less system, where the players collaborate to tell the story of the future they face at the end of the trip. In our case, arrival in Antonia. The future is described through aspects. Aspects take on the form of words, phrases, or short sentences that describe the oncoming future. Each player has a role, and each role, a way in which they can influence the aspects of the future. The roles are as follows. Mila takes on the role of the writer, who can change an aspect during play. Adelaide takes on the role of the guardian, who can protect an aspect during play. And Omar takes on the role of the assassin, who can kill an aspect during play. Play is divided into two phases, day and night. To start, we will designate a driver. Each day, we will take turns telling stories of the future and using our abilities. The driver loses their role for the day, taking on instead the role of the leader, who writes aspects during play. Each night, the driver will tell the story of the future and use any ability available to any role. They will then choose the next driver and regain their previous role. When all characters have been the driver once, there comes the last day, on which there is no driver. We tell the story of what awaits us at the end of our trip one last time and have one final chance to use our abilities. Then, the future is set, and Antonia awaits.
Our trip will need to begin with an initial list of aspects. These are our characters' initial thoughts, aspirations, maybe fears, and in general, apprehensions about what they will find when they arrive in the capital. And the way this works is each of us will add two aspects to the basic story before we commence.
Shall we take turns, guardian, assassin, writer?
Sure. Adelaide believes there is every chance that what awaits them at the port is nothing but danger.
As ever, Omar believes the experience will be monolithic, enormous, historic. As they travel, he's unable to grasp the scale of what awaits them when he returns to what was home.
Mila doesn't quite see it so black and white, but in the golden gilded buildings of the capital, whatever happens, it's Antonia. It's gonna be grand.
Despite the danger, there's a tinge of excitement in Adelaide's eyes for the prospect of new opportunity and new leads.
Omar expects a moment of calm before an oncoming storm. More of a hope than an expectation, more of a wish than a concrete plan, but a brief moment of reprieve.
Mila wants that and so many other things to be true, but to her, it's also vague. It's hard to know what's really, really coming. There's a lot of things for them to find out still.
Who would like to be the driver?
I think we'd better start with the captain.
The captain secures the wheel, makes sure that everything is running smoothly, the kobolds are doing what they need to make the ship go as quickly and as smoothly as it can. Take some time in and around the passengers, chatting with a few people, taking his daily rounds, making sure everybody is comfortable and well-fed. And he finds himself setting up a table on the front deck. Open skies, clear blue day, the fields of wheat and corn spreading out below them. And he's joined, not unexpectedly, by Mila, Nomar. Wherever we're going, we're gonna have a world of trouble. And we're just gonna have to be safe about it. But it's not so much the getting there and the doing everything legally that I'm worried about. I have worked with the government, not on projects, but for paperwork and things like that. At these ports of call, they tend to be incredibly fastidious. They like to nitpick everything. If your paperwork isn't precisely in order, you're gonna have a problem. Now, my paperwork is precisely in order. It always is, I make sure of that. But some of these laws are so behind the times and esoteric that they can catch you out on things that don't make no sense. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they'll already have found an excuse. It's a foregone conclusion for them. And we'll get there. There'll be a parade of guards, parade of military. They'll take Omar into custody. They take us into jail. Throw us away, kill us if they need to. I think if we're getting out of there, we're getting out of there quick, we're getting out of there quietly. But we have to see if we can get out of the port first. Then it'll be up to someone else to get us to wherever we need to go. I assume you know the address. I'm going to add foregone conclusion to our aspect list.
It's outside of the city, so in the ideal, we go straight from the port to a train, and we're away from prying eyes as soon as possible. With any luck, we do it small, we do it quiet, we slink away, we don't make too much noise. I am going to kill the aspect grand.
Right. Well, I mean, Captain Dill definitely be suspicious.
we need a way to properly smuggle Omar along.
In order to kind of sidestep that, but I mean, technically they don't have anything on you or me that would actually lead to, you know, lawful arrest. So if we can just be smart about it, it doesn't have to be set in stone. And Mila's gonna change foregone conclusion into extenuating circumstances.
All right. I suppose you're not wrong. Extenuating circumstances aside, what we can control is get on the train, as Omar said. We'll get to the house where there will be opportunities to sit and wait and check in and take a breather before all this hits. Now, I can't be more clear because we don't know what's coming. But what I will say is with what we can do in our power is make sure that everything happens neatly. We can come up with a plan. We will make sure that every step from getting into port all the way through getting to the house, we can have that all mapped out so that we all know what's happening. And maybe even have some backups. We will make this neat. We will make this clean. And I'm going to add planned out to our aspect list.
Hearing you say that, Omar will chime in. If we're going in there with a plan, we can't afford to be sloppy. We have less room than I'd like for the kind of chaos the capital is known for. We move with precision. Kill the aspect. Vague.
Right. Well, I agree, and I mean, you're right. We're coming into a very dangerous situation. The circumstances are going to be very, very hard on us. Coming into port, we should definitely have a plan for how to put Omar away and get through the city with the least of showing our faces that we can to kind of get the reprieve when we get to the house and the chance to properly look at the things that we can do while we're here. I just hope you guys don't forget that we're on the run. We're gonna have to do some things on the fly. We should expect change at every corner and to have to play it by ear. I hope you know that. And Mila is going to change monolithic into nuanced.
Actually, Mila, I've got a request to maybe help with some communication things. You know that message thing you do?
Right?
Is there any chance, and I'm going to regret asking this, you could teach that to the kobolds?
I could try to teach. I mean, Snap's got a bit of a... I think maybe I could try.
I would greatly appreciate that. Also, I'd get from you at some point some sort of... I don't know if there's like a shop that does sending or messages or things like that, that, you know, maybe I could stay in long distance contact with them or with whoever that you could point me towards.
I think we all need some long distance communication solutions. I know who to talk to.
Great. That's much appreciated. And, well, it's not too much trouble. If I could maybe be there while you're doing that, teaching the kobolds how to do that message thing, I think it might be handy for me to be able to do that as well. So I'm not very good at magic, but maybe if I learn the basics, I could maybe understand sort of what's going on.
Sure, I mean, I don't know if this is one you'll be able to learn, but we can... Let's take a crack with Snap. I think maybe he's got what it takes.
Sure, and, you know, I can be there to translate if there's anything that needs...
That might be helpful.
Yeah.
I hear his foul-mouthed and draconic.
The way that this is going to work is Mila is going to make an arcana check and Snap is going to make an arcana check, and together they have to equal 25.
Let's go. Do I roll or do you roll? Simon.
I roll.
Okay.
Can I have Pinky help me?
We're both rolling with advantage. Okay. Snap does have a -2 to this, but...
Okay. Mila has a +6 or +7 to this one. Hold on.
Snap has rolled a 6, -2 is a 4. So Mila, you need to hit a 21 or higher on this. Which, if you have a +6, means you need to hit a 15 or higher.
Arcana, I have a +7.
So you need to hit a 14 or higher. That's possible. Oh, God.
1/3 chance.
That's a 16.
Let's go.
Okay, so concentrate.
Don't forget to point.
Snap points with both fingers.
Finger guns.
One hand is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say what you want to say, but not very loud, just like very, very quietly.
Adelaide, in your mind, you hear in the tiniest kobold voice.
Breakfast.
Adelaide responds back. You did it. Snap, you did it. That was it. My boy.
You're pointing. Did it work? Did it work?
Snap faints.
Adelaide will rush over at him and, like, just make sure he's okay.
He's fine.
It's okay. It does it sometimes when you're starting to learn. I've got, like, some balms in my bag that my mom sent with me. He'll be okay. Mila gets some, like, smelling salts.
Snap. Messages Bigfist. Passes the fuck out.
Passes out.
Taking a moment over Snap's body, the thought comes of, oh, God, I'm going to have to put such regulations on this. I'm going to have to be so careful. Okay. And he'll turn to Mila. Really, I cannot thank you enough. This is hopefully going to change completely the way they communicate, and it could either make things so much better or so much worse, or both, frankly. Would you, like, write down the process and then, like, the restrictions and all that for me so that I know, so I can help them, you know, with all that? Because I definitely wasn't getting that unless...
And he'll try it. Roll me an arcana check. No one can help you.
No one can help you. He has to hit a nat 20.
Wait, what's my arcana? A non-natural one.
All right.
Adelaide faints. No. No, no, no.
Mila gets the smelling salts.
No, Adelaide, you say the word out loud.
Breakfast.
And for a moment, everyone kind of holds their breath.
I don't think that worked.
Yeah, I'm
Omar
sorry.
Omar taps Adelaide on the shoulder, saying, it's all right. You'll get it eventually.
You know, I don't think I will, but that's very kind of you to say. After the lesson, he'll go down and find Madwin.
Well, hello there, Captain.
He'll disclose the fact that Mila and Omar and Adelaide will probably have to disappear for a while. And if Madwin is going to stay in the city, that Madwin should keep in contact with the kobolds and make sure that they know where Madwin is staying. So Adelaide can get in contact with Madwin at a later date to discuss further projects and research.
Right, suppose they'll be on shore leave while you're hidden in the city?
Yeah, but they're going to need to check in with the ship periodically. So if you need anything or need to correspond with them, you can leave it with the ship and they'll get it.
I can also keep an extra set of eyes on this old bucket.
That'd be kind. Not necessary, but kind.
It's ferried me back and forth enough times, I feel I owe it.
Yeah. I have a great debt to it as well.
Listen, whatever's going on with you and your passengers, it's clearly taking priority, but I'll be in the city for a little while, so
I'll come find you, don't worry.
Right.
When I know it's safe, I'll come find you. You'll forgive me for not telling you more.
Listen, if I told you all the times I've been in trouble and what they were about, we wouldn't be friends.
Haha. I highly doubt that. I'm sure our stories would match up pretty well, unfortunately.
Don't mind a secret. That's just not how this works.
Exactly. Thanks, Madwin. And it's good to have you on board again.
It's good to be back in the sky.
I'll see you later then.
That you will. Can't go far.
Suppose not.
Take care, Captain.
As the sun wheels round the sky and the day fades to night in its brilliant menagerie of colors, Adelaide is seen blending in with the sky, his poncho overlapping with the colors of the fading sun. Above the heads of everybody who gathers on the deck, milling about, observing the landscape, a cigarette tucked between his teeth, slowly inhaling and exhaling the sunset. No one's quite close enough to hear it, but there is a mutter that escapes his lips, along with each exhale of the smoke. I can't see what they have against me. All my paperwork's in order. We'll get in. I'll get in contact with Cherry. We just have to be smart about this. And we can be, and we will be. There's nothing they can do to us. It's a public space. They won't risk that. In a city like Antonia, in the port, they wouldn't dare. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And I am going to kill the aspect dangerous. You know, if Mila's gonna share her life with me, at least her home life for a short bit, might not be a bad idea to see how we work together. I mean, really work together. Maybe I'll bring her through the duties tomorrow and see if she can lead things for the day. And I'm gonna pass over the drivership to Mila.
Milo's up bright and early the next day to see to Snap at first. She ends up following him and the kobolds around the ship for a little bit, seeing what it is that they do each morning, kind of watching as the rest of the passengers come and go and find their own little routines during this trip in the Antonian Express. She realizes she hasn't really been part of anything that she cares about and believes in. For some time now. When the captain asks her to go around for the rest of the duties, see how things are done, try to get her hands into it a little more, she's more than happy to do it. When Adelaide is showing her how to check and work the rigging, what Slim does, Mila isn't actually very dexterous and doesn't feel very safe to climb many things. So she kind of pulls Omar from just walking around the ship.
Hey, good morning.
To
darling.
Kind of help them along and go up also for his own sake, because she knows he misses being useful and he misses exercise, things like that. So doing the equivalent of monkey bars with Slim might already give him a little bit of a boost. And while the three of them are under the open sky, getting done handling the ropes, Mila looks over the stern of the ship. I've been thinking, things seem really clear cut to us. You know, we can imagine all of these things we have mapped and planned out, all of the different risks that we're running, where we'll get calm, where we'll have to be quick. But truth is, once you come into the city, there's just so much going on. Honestly, it's a high. We have to keep our wits about us, but I just want to account for being in there. It's, you know, the biggest city in the continent.
Omar chips in and says, biggest city in the world.
Mila nods and she says, yeah. So, big. And she's going to add in the aspect intoxicating.
Let's not forget, however, that with a big space comes a lot of good. I've been focused on the negatives, and I apologize for that. I had a realization last night that we'll be all right insofar as docking goes. Once we're free of this idiocy, I mean, it is Antonia. So much can happen. Let's not forget that we are here because it's something new. And that while it's not the horizon that I tend to search for, there are many new horizons in Antonia for us to pursue. We've got leads. We've got things we can do. We've got resources. Let's keep an eye on that. And not forget that we will come out of this for the better. Together. And I'm going to mark the aspect new opportunities, mm-hmm. which cannot be deleted or altered until the end of the game.
As he looks out over this endless sky, the seemingly endless fields with their new arcano-mechanical harvesters and the wide, deep, muddy red-brown river, Omar takes a breath. We have reason to be worried, but worried doesn't mean complicated, and worried doesn't mean scared, because we know what we need to do. And I will kill the aspect extenuating circumstances. This is a lot easier than we've been making it. Omar turns, and with a look, Mila, that you've seen 100 times cross his face, you realize he has a plan. Him killing that element is him doing what he does best and leading troops. He is a commander. He comes into his element, kills that aspect, and leads.
Mila gives Omar a hug from the side, puts her head on his shoulder.
We love a side hug.
And looks out at the horizon with him. It's very reassuring that he is himself again, or a little bit more like himself at any rate. But as in a set of scales, once the weight is removed from one side, it is only left for the other to descend, in this case, into worry. So Mila does stay a little bit with him, then gets on her tippy toes, gives Omar a kiss on the cheek, and runs her hand through his hair a little. You've got this, right?
As much as we can have it, I think I've got it.
She gives him a small smile and says, I knew you would, before walking away. As the sun sets, she retreats into their cabin and wants to pore over the ledgers she'd acquired from the Yanawa some time ago, as well as, if possible, Mari's study notes. She'll stay up all night if she has to. She is doing her part.
All right. Way this is going to work is you're going to give me an investigation check. If you roll high enough, you get both. If you roll low, you have to pick.
I get a +7 to this roll. Guys, that's a nat 20.
Every study habit, every note-taking shortcut, every little way that Mila was trained to do this, and I think in this moment remembers she's really, really good at this. You return to an old skill and find that, like riding a bike, close reading comes back to you. Which would you like to handle first? We're going to get both of them, but which would you like to handle first? The ledgers or the study notes?
The ledgers.
You start collecting names, and immediately your brain dives into pattern recognition. There's names. The pieces of information listed are name, rank, state of origin, unit, and status. What you begin to put together is a simple data correlation. There is a high degree of correlation between mid-level officer ranks and MIA or AWOL, higher than with any other rank. You start to notice, combing through that data, if you have that, and you have names of people. If you want to get any more information out of this, I'm gonna need a history check.
That's worse. It's a 6 + 7, so 13.
A 13. On a 13, you feel that there's something important behind all of this data, and it involves one of the other statistics, but you just can't tell which one. You can't tell which other piece of information that this ledger gives you is the key to cracking this open. But you know it's there. You know you can return to it. You know you can get more information and try again. You know that you can run this by someone else. And you've already found the most important.
Okay.
At least what you think is the most important piece of information from this ledger. Moving on to the study notes, Mari has included a lot of information, and it's roughly in two categories. It's in a very medical sense. She has divided her notes for you into diagnosis information and a treatment plan. Which do you think Mila's more focused on?
She wants to
hone in on the diagnosis because she knows it's important and she's very curious. But she has to figure something out for Omar.
So treatment in this moment.
Correct.
If you roll high enough, you can get both. Give me a medicine check.
I'm going to use my nat 20 portent roll.
God damn it. How do you keep having nat 20 portent rolls?
I don't know. I've rolled like 4 nat 20 portent rolls.
Leave this in ep because the people need to know.
I promise I am not fudging these. Simon, you know I have a very special relationship with my dice.
Yeah, they're simps.
They just want Omar to be well so badly.
An additional nat 20 on being a researcher. Treatment. It's unclear whether or not traditional wolfsbane, so remedies that are used to treat lycanthropy in when it is naturally occurring, quote, in air quotes, will work on Omar, because it's not apparent that his condition is triggered by the same magical factors that trigger lycanthropy. So it's unclear the relationship he has to the moon, and it's also unclear whether wolfsbane remedies, be they magical items or be they potions or other kinds of oral medication. Mari believes that the most effective paths for treatment are avoidance, as in avoiding stimuli that could trigger his condition, as in avoid people that want to manipulate him and kill you. Which seems obvious, but sometimes doctors have to point out the obvious. Mari's additional suggestions seem to mostly center on, because she is an abjurer, counter charms, on abjurations, on counter enchantments, on keeping Omar's mind and body free from external magical influence as much as possible. And the last note is, if nothing else works, appeal to the mind. And Mila, on that nat 20, you realize this is a note that Mari must have left after the fight. That Mari saw that there was a way that Omar was fighting this within himself that was working to some degree. On the diagnosis side, a lot of similar information. To Mari, it seemed mostly like this was made to mimic lycanthropy rather than actually reproduce it. It's a combination of spells that make it look like someone is a werewolf while being under the control of an additional caster. And that relationship is in some way analogous to the relationship between a caster and a familiar. An additional warning, the last piece of information you glean from these notes. Mari doesn't say it directly. A spell like this would require tremendous power to maintain. The hardest thing to do in magic is a sustained, lasting effect that combines several schools of magic, let alone individual spells. This is complicated, and it is labor-intensive. So either the caster involved is incredibly powerful, or with the exception of this spell, they are always incredibly weak. And with that, you've gotten the key parts of information from these notes. That great bane of the all-nighter student, the sun, begins to alert you that it might be time to get some rest.
Mila knows that this information she can act on and deal with in Antonia. At home, in her streets, with her people, the mannerisms and boulevards and riverbanks that she knows. And she is going to add familiar into our aspect list. And, I mean, speaking of familiarity, she tells Omar. As he wakes up and she goes to bed. Yawning. I think there's... I have an idea. There might be something I can do, but... I gotta go to bed. Can you make sure that everything's in order for... coming in?
Of course. Get your rest.
And she gives him a kiss on the cheek before snuggling up and says, I love you, and goes to sleep.
Omar stays in bed for a second, just waiting until he's absolutely sure that Mila is asleep. Omar will get up, and as he has every day for the past, he's not sure how long, he will look in the mirror and get a little more comfortable with the man he has to continually introduce himself to. He'll put on his eye patch, properly shave, take a breath, and begin his day. Knowing that they are approaching Antonia proper, as the fields below give way to pasture, and then eventually to the small towns and middle-sized cities along the Albaran that are the core of Meridia, that are the core of the civilization that has shaped Omar into who he is. He finds himself keeping himself busy, doing whatever work there is to do, trying to ignore the stares of the passengers' kids, knowing that some of them have seen him writhing on the ground. Well, he'll chat to some of them, make sure they've all heard his voice, make sure he hears his own voice. And at some point, he'll find the captain.
Okay, bye now. Be safe.
Listen, Mila's asleep, and we better leave her that way for a little bit, but in terms of our plan, once we get to Antonia, and I promise I'm not saying this in the way you've likely heard it before, but I know people. I know people who can hide us, hide your lovely crew, if that's what we need. I know people who can make heads turn the other way, if that's what we need. And I know people who will know what's to be done. If that's legal, if that's not. I know that you value the freedom that being unanchored to the ground brings you. But if I may offer, I would like to expose you to the benefits of having very, very deep roots. And I will add the aspect, well connected.
Thanks are due. I have been perhaps unkind to you.
Never.
I would like to offer the first of many gratitudes. You are right. I do not have deep roots. I've got very far flung roots. And while I do have a few contacts in Antonia, people who look kindly on me, people I've done favors for and who have done favors for me, I admit that I do not have as rich of a system, if you'll excuse the turn of phrase, as you do.
Omar laughs. Fair enough.
And so I thank you deeply for allowing me into the care and protection of that system.
Least I can do.
And I will protect. Will mark well connected. Is Mila all right?
Oh, she's fine. She was up late.
Understood. Well?
Well, I think we should at least wake her for dinner. May I trouble you, Captain, for access to food stores?
For what reason?
Omar looks at the faces that regard him with a mixture of concern, maybe a little bit of pity, but definitely nothing approaching warmth. I'd like to do something nice for the ship. And so far, I think there has been a severe underappreciation of my talents.
With a great smile and the hint of a laugh in his voice, Adelaide will reply, "Of course you may. You will, however, have to contend with Snap on this one."
I could not dream of a better colleague.
And I will leave you to it.
Resources are limited, so the meal is simple, but effective. Which means kanji. Or, I guess in this case, something more like samp, because it's corn. A massive stew built on top of as much bacon fat as can be mustered. Not dissimilar from cowboy polenta, but a little more filling, a little more communal. Big pot. The biggest pot. And filled with home spices. The presence of cloves is a little too strongly felt, but not badly. The obligatory bay leaves, covered in green onion and cilantro, just for bite. There's some cajoling that it takes to get Snap and Smother to relinquish the cilantro. And the meal is served to as large a table as can be set.
Adelaide will take the responsibility himself to get Mila and is heralded by a now calf-height Razzie poking his head through the door and climbing up onto the bed to sit on Mila's chest. The door will creak open at Adelaide's touch as he steps into the room and says, "I hate to wake you. I hear you've been up all night, but your fiancé made dinner."
"But it's so warm with Razzie here."
"Yeah, I don't blame you. Food's there if you want it."
"Yeah, I'll be up in a second. Thanks, Captain."
"Of course. I'll save you a seat up there."
"Thank you."
As Mila comes out and sees the huge table set by Omar, she can tell he set the table from where the forks and knives are positioned, as opposed to just in a cutlery holder. And Omar is at the other end of the table helping people serve themselves.
In an apron.
Omar, give me a persuasion check with advantage.
Hell yeah. It's a 22.
It's not the first time that Mila has seen a room alight with Omar's charisma. It's a warm meal and a warm night, and the faces around the table are warmer than they were to the scarred and patched soldier at the head of the table. She sits down next to Omar, across from the captain, and as she enjoys the meal, she gets the distinct impression that though for so long she thought so many things were important, they couldn't be more important than what's to come.
And she is going to change Calm Before the Storm into Pivotal Moment.
As dinner wraps up, and he does all of the dishes because he insists, but also because he's dreading what comes after. Once all the lights in the kitchen / engine room are dimmed and everyone else is mostly asleep, Omar finds his bed. Not quite intentionally, but just at the end of everything else he has to do. And collapses. And in Omar's dream, he stands at the bottom of a set of stairs. And above them, he can hear voices calling.
Stand up straight, boy.
Voices he only remembers.
You've got the makings of
from his deepest childhood.
Try a little harder.
Anything can be yours.
Fathers, uncles, grandfathers.
I don't need people outside asking who raised you, boy.
Can be yours.
Try a little harder.
And he starts climbing.
Come on. Try a little harder. Now throw it like a man.
And as he keeps climbing, the stairs get steeper. But also wider. So he has to bend his body to keep climbing them.
Anything can be yours.
And as the voices get louder, urging him onward, urging him ever forward,
stand up straight, boy.
Eventually he finds himself on all fours.
Be yours.
Come here, boy.
As the ambition to go further, to claim more, to be more, drives him onward.
Come on.
He feels his useless fingers replaced with paws. His nails replaced with much more useful claws. And in service of real ambition, a mouth doesn't need to speak, and so his tongue is replaced with fangs.
Anything can be yours.
And if you were to see him in bed, as perhaps Mila does, you would see the tattoos arcing across his back, and you would see him begin to turn in his sleep. But something stops him in his dream. As it has stopped him every night he has tried to sleep.
It's your hat, soldier.
And on the handful of unlucky days when he has had to face this nightmare awake.
Stand up straight, boy.
A reminder that no matter how high he goes, his feet are always on the ground.
Don't let it get to your head.
And there are always people he cares about with him.
You follow my prediction.
And that those people have no space for claws or fangs.
You're perfect.
And he wakes. And he returns to sleep again, and this same dream will greet him three times tonight, as it greeted him four times the night before.
Come on. Try a little.
And he keeps fighting.
Stand up straight, boy.
Kings of greatness.
Anything
can be yours.
He will kill the aspect familiar. Because there's no part of this. There's no part of this that will feel the same.
A bright morning dawns, and the pinks and yellows and blues and grays of the singing birds fill the sky.
In the nearing east, a
approaching as the sun rises, there is a glint of gold off the top of the highest towers.
And in many places, a thick cloud of black smog that obscures anything below those summits.
The ship is steered minutely towards its portside destination.
The chatter inside gets quieter with the rising city bustle.
And before long, it's just an absolute roar of metal and of magic and of voices and footsteps and of music blaring and of horns and of a river that has traveled across a continent to deposit its silt at the foot of the greatest city in the world.
The captain and Mila find themselves in a quiet moment of conversation, checking over everything and making sure that beds are packed away, linens are cleaned, everything is sorted for their arrival at destination. You were right the other day, by the way.
I'm right really often. You're gonna have to be more specific than that.
Intoxicating. Antonia puts a haze on my mind. And I know it's not just the smog. It's the people. It's the sheer scale of the city. The hustle and bustle of 10,000 people. Make it alive in such a small space. I always feel like I lose myself a little bit. Directionless. Always anchored back to my ship. It's not a city I tend to spend much time in. It's not a city I like to spend much time in. But I must admit, there is a bit of wonder to it. It's hard to be around that much magic and not feel the spark travel through you. It is not a place I would ever call home. But knowing what I know of you makes a lot of sense that you do. And I'm excited to see it through your eyes. And Adelaide will mark intoxicating.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I hate Antonia. It's so dirty, and the trains are always late, and everyone is very sweaty, but that's just the thing. How can you be directionless when you know the tram goes from the factory to the banks just before the academy, because some kids from the poor neighborhoods, they study there. And if you get the first cable car in the morning, you can see the sunrise from up on the hill. And yeah, maybe it's just rich people that stroll in the gardens, but they're open to everyone. I'll show you the Antonia you've never seen. And she is going to change nuanced into loaded.
Damn, I was going to kill Nuanced, and that was going to be an easy out for me.
No. No easy outs.
And there's the man of the moment. How are you doing, Omar?
Slept well.
Glad to hear it.
Omar's not saying much, but he looks ready. And as the ship comes into dock, he starts instinctively scanning the crowd for faces. He's never come to this skyport without anybody picking him up. as he scans the crowd, his eyes catch on something. For just a brief moment, the briefest moment, a shock of incredibly pale blonde hair, paper skin, and dark eyes that are gone in an instant after he sees them, and I will kill the aspect planned out.
Tales from a World Asunder is Louisa Zanardi as Mila, Nick Sturman as Adelaide, and Simon Ivchevich as the world falling apart around them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
And now we bring you a message from our mayor.
Antonia the Beautiful, my city! This year, our founder, Contessa Antonia de Vermeil, turns 300 years old. And if she were with us still, I believe she would join me in inviting you, the people of her fair city, the grandest in the world, to the festivities we have planned on the 12th of Germinal, her birthday, including the annual Contessa Parade, where our city's finest will join with a brigade of our imperial troops in this historical event. Her imperial eminence will, of course, be present, bestowing blessings and good wishes to all, and even those criminals, trespassers against our great imperial republic, may receive amnesty for their heinous crimes, so great is her mercy. I renew my pledge to the people of this fair city to protect and uphold those standards of beauty, truth, safety, and industriousness. Good tidings be on you all, and I look forward to another fruitful term, serving you all as your mayor.